Great morning, everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of Thank God for Monday. I'm Brother Greg Cellini of the Franciscan Brothers of Brooklyn and the Office of Mission, Ministry, and Interfaith Dialogue at St. Francis College in beautiful Brooklyn, New York. My great pleasure to be back with you again today. The purpose of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to inspire you, our audience, to take personal responsibility for your professional satisfaction. We want to provide you hope, healing, and peace in these unprecedented, turbulent, uncertain times. Motivate you to search deep inside yourself in the quest for fulfillment. Listeners, it's really up to you how to utilize the information we provide today and take full accountability for the decisions you make and a resulting outcome. Now, one of the goals of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to introduce role models of people who take very bold steps in their work lives. This is a very, very special month, the month of April, which has been designated as National Financial Literacy Month. Every April, communities across our great nation come together to celebrate National Financial Literacy Month. It's a time dedicated to empowering individuals with the knowledge and skills necessary for sound financial decision making. And as such, we have with us today a very, very special guest. His name is Marion Joseph Venrick. Born in Queens, New York, Marion has a unique background in property management and maritime, even having worked on tugboats and fast ferries. He is also a loving husband and devoted father of four. On top of all this, he's an author. He's written the timely and enlightening book entitled Graduation Gift, An Introduction to Money Management and Life Skills. Great morning and welcome to Thank God for Monday, Marion.
Good morning, Brother Greg. Thank you for having me on.
The honor is all ours. Kindly share with the listeners and me from what city and state you're speaking from this morning, please.
So I'm calling from Manhasset, New York.
Wow. So you're a New Yorker as well. A beautiful, beautiful part of New York State that the listeners and I are just become very jealous. One of the most beautiful parts of the Empire State, that's for sure. Sadly, we've only got 30 minutes. We could spend hours talking about this great book, talking about your amazing life and past experience. We're going to jump right into the deep end of the pool. It's very interesting because the word financial literacy, or the term, if you will, financial literacy, could mean a whole lot of different things to a whole lot of different people. For the purposes of your vantage point in this discussion today, help us out, please. What is financial literacy?
Financial literacy is the understanding of your money and the things that affect your money. So, Brother Greg, do you remember in high school taking home economics class?
Yes, we did. I went to a wonderful Catholic high school in Clifton, New Jersey, and we did.
Yeah, and in home economics class, it was a very basic kind of financial literacy class. It was, they would kind of do budgeting, you know, how much money do you have? How much are you spending? And, you know, how to write a checkbook, very basic kind of household related economics. And that's honestly, that's a great place to start. So if your listeners haven't done this, and I would suggest they might do this, is ask their parents or whoever takes care of the bills in that household, how do you guys pay the bills? How does it work? What bills do you have? And that's the start of financial literacy. But I have another analogy that I like to use. Financial literacy is like a giant toolbox. Imagine a huge toolbox with every single kind of tool you could think of in there, every tool. And anytime you have a project, you just go to the toolbox, you have access to it, and you grab the tool that you need. You might never need the tool, but you know that it's there. So
wow.
Yeah, financial literacy is like that. It's the toolbox, of course, is your mind, and the tools are the knowledge that you put in there, or at least the you put in the resources, and you know that they're there, and when you need them, you just go to them.
What an amazing analogy, and what an amazing concept you've raised of having very young people sort of get to know the operations of the family, of the household. How does it work? Wow, that really, really is wonderful. Now, we now have a better sense naturally of financial literacy. Why is this literacy important for young people, especially most of our listeners that thank God for money are college students or young alum? Why, especially those in college, is indeed financial literacy so important?
All right, why is financial literacy important? And this reminds me of a quote from Zig Ziglar. It's actually, he said, money isn't the most important thing in life, but it's reasonably close to oxygen on the gotta have it scale.
Wow.
We use money every day. We transact in our day-to-day lives. We transact everything we do. So imagine, like in the morning, you go and buy a cup of coffee, right? So you go buy that cup of coffee. Here's a little exercise your listeners can try out. You get that cup of coffee. How many people actually think about all the things that happened to get that cup of coffee to you, right? There's a coffee. The coffee is grown someplace. It's harvested, collected, packaged, sent to a distributor, or actually a shipper, who gets it to a distributor, who then sends it to the roaster and the packaging person, who then creates the package that sends it to the store that you buy your cup of coffee from. That's all part of financial literacy.
Wow. I would have no idea that there was that many steps involved in just a cup of coffee.
And that's just a cup of coffee. Now think about everything that we touch. Look around you. Everything that you touch, somehow it got to you, right? Like,
yes.
I have this pen right here. Where did the pen come from? So that's part of it. Why is it so important to college students? Well, I imagine a lot of your listeners are in school to get an education so that way they can get a better income than if they didn't get the education. So it's like it's a key component, this financial literacy. It's a key component to your daily existence. And if it's so important, we should all have a good basic understanding of it.
This is really helpful to the listeners and me, because today more than ever in colleges, yes, the liberal arts are important, but the colleges have become naturally more and more career focused. So yeah. Indeed, our listeners are out there, they're coming to college to enhance their earning potential. So once they can get out, they can hit the ground running, earn some money, contribute to society, et cetera. And financial literacy is a really important part of it, as you said. Now, speaking of education, I remember way back, now this was, I graduated in 1977 from Paul Six Regional High School, no longer there, unfortunately. But I was able to take accounting classes actually back in high school, two of them, and that was a great help to me in my career and just in financial literacy overall. Are there any high school or college courses you would recommend students take to become more financially literate? Because regardless of what you're majoring in college, you do have electives that you can take, et cetera. Help us out here, please.
Absolutely. There's not one, any specific classes I can mention, but if they do offer them, I would highly suggest you take them. If your school offers a personal management class, a personal finance class, any kind of money management class, a budgeting class or a bookkeeping class, and even if they still offer it, home economics. If they offer home economics, I would highly suggest that. And I have a couple if you don't have it available at your school, I have some websites I could suggest to the listeners that could be helpful. So I've got howstuffworks.com/personal finance, investopedia.com, thebalance.com, nerdwallet.com, and econclips.com. And they're
wow.
Again, you're just adding more things into your toolbox of knowledge.
What a great service you're providing the listeners and me this morning. You've already vetted these sites. These are well-recommended sites. all free of charge. And it's so wonderful in someone's spare time, they can take a look at these and continue to gain those competencies, that financial literacy. The listeners know of Thank God for Monday, I'm a recovering CPA. But what they may not know is on a daily basis, I literally still use these skills.
Absolutely.
The accounting, the debits, the credits, I'm on our finance committee for the congregation. I'm in a position now where I need to do budgeting. So indeed, these skills, when you gain them, listeners, at a young age, they stay with you and they will benefit you your entire life. So so glad during this wonderful month of April, during National Financial Literacy Month, we have an amazing guest with us today to share all of these tidbits that will benefit us today, tomorrow, and forever. Now, speaking of amazing, let's shift gears and talk about this book of yours. If I understand correctly, it's titled Graduation Gift, An Introduction to Money Management and Life Skills. Share with us all about it. What inspired you to write this great book?
Well, it really started with my kids. So
wow.
My kids now are from age 13 to 24.
Oh.
So I've kind of seen the whole spectrum of education that they're getting. And along the way, I kept asking questions like, why don't they just teach some basic things like incorporated into math? And they're getting better. My youngest one is now has something called everyday math in her class. But, you know, things that you're going to do, you're going to go grocery shopping. You're going to need a bank account. You're going to need a credit card. You're going to have to file taxes at some point. So it's like all these things that you should have been getting all along the way. I think, you know, a lot of parents do this, but some don't. So it's like, where do you get this basic education?
Sure.
I have an interesting story to share with your listeners, which I
Please.
Think you relate to. So back in 1990, here's my introduction to banking. This is what happened to me. Back in 1990, I'm a freshman in college. And I go to dinner, come down from dinner, there's this table there. And there's this group of people and they're giving things out. There's pens and squishy balls.
Oh.
You know? So I go over and I'm like, oh, what's this all about? And then they're a bank, it's a bank. And they go, you know, how you doing? What's going on? Are you a freshman? I said, yes, I'm a freshman. She's like, do you have a bank account? I said, no, I didn't at the time. I didn't have a bank account. He said, do you think it would be useful if you had one? I said, well, gee, yeah, that would be useful. He's like, do you think you could use a credit card? And I said, yes, I could probably use a credit card. So they helped me fill out the form, the application, and they set up an appointment at the local branch.
Nice.
And this is part two of the story. This is, I think most people relate to this. I get to the bank. So they've made the appointment. I get there and the atmosphere is a little different. So the salespeople at the desk, they were very, very accommodating and very nice. I get to the bank and you know how banks are. It's like the security guard was there and I walk in and the tellers are over here and the cubicles are over here. And the security guy goes, you got to go over there. Wait over there. I said, okay. So I wait over there. And the banker gets to me and he says, he looks at he grabs my application and he looks at it, sign here, I need a copy of your license and a deposit. I'm like, okay, I'll give you, here's my 2 minutes, Brother Greg. I'm in there for 2 minutes.
Oh my God.
And he's like, okay, it'll come in the mail now. And he does one of these to me. Okay, thanks for coming in, and waves me towards the door. That was my education. Nobody explained what a bank does, how they work, what the purpose of a bank is, how a credit card works.
Oh, no.
So I'm 18 years old and I have a bank account and a credit card. And and just a little tidbit right here, I'm going to tell your audience. Most, I don't know if they realize, I realize this took me a while, but banks' main purpose, their sole purpose almost, is to lend out money.
Sure.
They want you to get a credit card. They want you to get a school loan, a car loan, house loan. And then later, they want you to refinance that loan.
Wow.
But nobody explained that. So I think that's it's so important that people have that understanding.
Yeah. It's unfortunate because the students definitely have to be careful. We all do. But my understanding, credit card debt is at an all-time high in the country, certainly. So how we utilize these tools are really critical. I'd be
Absolutely.
curious, did your great book require much research? And if so, how did you undertake the research?
It wasn't so much research as it was a compilation of things that have happened to me and the people that I know around me. So it was 30 years of living, and I essentially compressed it into a short story.
Wow.
So the story involves my stick figure friend Joe, and it's his first day of work, and it kind of follows him through all the things that he has to do, as he goes through his existence.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. Now, I know from my own personal situation and effort, writing a book could be really challenging. Was there one big challenge that you faced?
I had two challenges. It's kind of funny. So the first challenge was getting started. And then the other challenge was finishing. There's a Kevin Kelly has this book, and in his book, he has this one line, and he says, when you have finished 90% of a large project, it'll take you another 90% to finish all the details. And he was so right. It's like I had
Oh,
everything
wow.
done. And then you have to set up a website. And I was sort of technologically illiterate. So I had to go and learn how to set up a website, how to get myself, new email accounts, how to tie it all together
Wow.
and all these little things. So, I have to thank my wife because she was the one who was just like, all right. She was the one at the beginning who was like, because I kept saying, why don't they teach this and why don't they teach that? She was the one, she said, stop whining and just go do something about it. It was like, you're right. So I wrote the book.
Oh,
And then she was the one who kind of egged me on to make sure it's like, all right, you just got to get it done. You got to get it done. So it was
it
great.
certainly fills a huge void. There's no question about it. There's a great need for it. And from my own experience, I don't know. I'm very curious. Did you get to a point where, or maybe in the beginning, that might have been challenging to start, that you didn't think you could do it? And then you get to a point and say, I really can do this. I don't know if you had a similar type experience. For any of the writers or potential writers out there, we want to motivate them this morning.
Yeah, you know what it is? I think a lot of times it's just getting started. It was just, it's like I had these notes. I've been making notes for years and years, probably 10 years. I was like, why don't we teach about this and why don't we teach about that?
That's
And
awesome.
then I just sat down. I literally, if you looked at my original scratchings, I literally made little scratching stick figure scratchings and notes on loose leaf paper. It was a mess. But it got the wheels turning. And
Exactly.
once I got going, it went really quite well. It wasn't that bad. Just once I get going and I got into the flow and I was just like I was doing something on a daily basis, eventually, little by little, you put it all together and you have a finished product.
That's so wonderful. Listeners, anybody who's out there thinking about a book, as our guest today says, just go out there and do it. Just start it, and you'll
Absolutely.
never know what can happen. It's really amazing. Now, maybe this is an unfair question, but is there one ideal reader of your book, or is the audience more kind of a whole bunch of different audiences?
Well, I as the name of the book suggests, it's called Graduation Gift. And it was I at that time I had high school and college graduates. So I'm like,
Wonderful.
okay, I wanted it for them, but my main proofreader was at the time my 11-year-old, and I would ask him,
Oh.
and I would go, "Do you understand this? Does this make sense?" And she was like, "Oh yeah, Dad, this is good." I'm like, "Okay, then I did my job. If my 11-year-old can understand it, then I did my job." So it's a wide range. It's really for anybody who's kind of looking for that basic level of understanding of finances and money.
Brilliant that was to have someone who at 11 years old you gave this to and say, do you understand this? Is it over your head? Is it, am I using terms that are, too specific or, that can't be under? Wow, that is really, really brilliant. Now, to me, your great book solves many, many problems, but for the our audience, for the benefit of them, is there one particular problem that you believe you solve for the reader, even above many of the others?
The way I think about it, it's not one problem. It's more like, let's go back to the toolbox analogy.
Please.
It's more like a resource. So you know it's there. You might never use it, but you know it's there. So it's like this information that's out there. It's in one place. You know that it's in one place.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So for example, let's say you wanted to rent an apartment, right? And you're thinking to yourself, you know, I read that book once. What was that book? It was that stick figure, and he was renting an apartment, and he had a sample lease in there. What was it? Oh yeah. And then you remember the name of his graduation gift, and he had those QR codes. I could just click on the QR code and go right to the article, or in this case, the sample lease. You could see what a lease actually looks like. Now, if you're not renting an apartment, it doesn't matter, right? You don't need that piece of information at that time, but you know it's there. You're like, oh yeah, it's there. I just have to go get that resource and go to where I need to go.
Wow, that is amazing. So if I perceive correctly, it's a book that you read once per se, but then you can put it on the shelf. And then depending on what's going on in your life, as you say, it's a reference tool. I love the tool analogy again. So you're renting an apartment. Oh, let me refer to this. There's probably other things that you're opening a checking account or you're doing
Yes.
this or whatever.
Yes.
So, and as you say, did you say it was 30 years of your experience over the course of your life? Do I perceive that you've captured here?
That's correct. Yeah, it's about
Wow.
30 years of just doing things, and not just myself. It's kind of the experience of the people around me. And I was like, okay, these are the things I actually did. Now, what did I do? And what did I wish I had known when I was doing that? Like, what piece of information did I wish I had? And so the story goes about, you know, my stick figure friend, Joe, and on each page is a little resource that you could tap into to get you that particular piece of information. So yes, it's a nice resource to put on the shelf, and it's a short read. And then, you know, whenever your mind comes to it, you can go back.
That to me is so important today, because for better or for worse, today's younger generations, they have a tendency not to read large volumes of information at one time in particular. So the fact that it's a short read is just another reason to get involved with it, purchase it, et cetera. And before the end of the show, naturally, we're going to tell our loyal listeners how they can find this great book of yours. Now, someone in high school who's graduating, or someone in college who's graduating, anywhere in between, if you will, is there one most important question they should ask themselves about financial literacy, do you think?
Yes, I think, it's like a life question, and that is why. Why are you doing what you're doing? You know, what are you trying to accomplish? Is the things that you're working on today, are they going to get you to where you want to go? And I have another quote here from Jim Rohn, and he said, "If you don't design your life plan, chances are you'll fall into someone else's plan. And guess what they have planned for you?" Not much. Not much. They don't have much. The other people don't have much planned for you.
Wow.
So, Brother Greg, though, I must say that you did a wonderful job in your book.
Oh.
You have devoted a chapter in your book, Transform Yourself, Transform the World. You had chapter 5 was all about who are you and who do you want to be? And you know how important that is? Like, that is like the basis. Like, yeah, the money stuff is important, but if you don't understand what your purpose is and where you want to head,
That's very, very kind of you, certainly. And I don't know from your vantage point, but unfortunately, the good news is today's college graduates in particular, they know accounting, they know biology, they know all the subject matters. But as one guest said, they're hopelessly clueless about themselves. They're
Yes.
just not self-aware. Have you found that as also, that today's younger generation struggles with self-awareness?
Yeah, I have seen that. It's like, I guess they never got asked. Nobody asked them the questions. Like, where do you want to go? What do you want to do? And spend some time there, you know, spend some time on yourself. Who are you? Who do you want to be? I think you used the river of life.
Yes. Yeah. To see where you've been, and that helps you to see more where direction you want to go in, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm so glad we're having this conversation, because I look at you as a role model, a wonderful father, a wonderful husband, someone who's had an amazing career, now writing a book. You certainly, at a young age, I have a great sense, knew who you were very self-aware, where were you going, how you wanted to get there. So you're a role model for me and for the students here today. Seton Hall, Siena, St. Francis College, wherever you're listening from, and beyond, certainly. So,
Brother Greg, this kind of reminds me of something. I have another quick story, and this is important. So I was working on a service project in high school, and part of the service project is that they had those kinds of questions. They said, where do you see yourself in the future? What will you be doing? How will you be of service to others? Now, this is important. I want to stress this to your listeners. I filled this form out. I folded it up, I handed it in, and I did not think about it. 28 years later, a friend of mine came across this document and sent it to me. Everything I wrote down happened almost to the letter.
Isn't that amazing? How beautiful. Wow.
So
you certainly had a vision back then, and you took steps so that vision would come true. We could talk all day. Sadly, we've only got 5 minutes. We've got still a couple of important questions to share with you. It is National Financial Literacy Month, as we've said a few times. How can our loyal listeners and I really best celebrate this month? Help us out. What do you recommend for us, please?
I recommend a little exercise. So take a blank piece of paper, draw a line down the middle. On one side, write down everything you spend in a month. And on the other side, write down every way you generate income on the other side. And then just look at it. It'll tell you what you need to do. That's your personal financial literacy, if you will, or your personal financial statement. Just look at it. Like, where am I spending my money? How am I spending it?
Boy, that must be very enlightening and revealing, naturally, but it could be a scary exercise, depending on what comes out. But I would imagine that, especially for high school students and college students, it's important that they see the reality of where their money is going. It's interesting, Father David Couturier, a mentor of mine up at St. Bonaventure University, he loves to say that a financial statement or a report like you're talking about is just as much a theological statement or report, if you will, as it is a financial statement. So that ties in with, gee, are we spending our money in line with our values, in line with our faith, in line with what we believe? So listeners, please, let's do that in April. Let's take a look, you and I, because that's one thing I need to do. How am I spending my money? And indeed, is it following my Franciscan life, or is it frivolous spending on things I don't need? You have given us so many nuggets today. Are there any final nuggets you'd like to share with the listeners, in particular about financial literacy, about anything we've shared about today?
I do. And actually, I'm going to quote your book.
Oh.
So this is what I have for your listeners. It goes like this. It is about seeing the good inside yourself and sharing your good to maximize your contribution to a world desperately in need of your good. There's nothing more that I want for your audience than for them to prosper spiritually, physically, mentally, and of course, financially.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I think we'd all agree in this April of 2024 that the world is in need of transformation, and we need the contribution of each and every one, the maximization of their contribution. So thank you so much for sharing that. We've saved the most important question for last. Where can our loyal listeners purchase a copy of Graduation Gift? How can they best follow you, please?
Sure. You can go to my website. It's gradgift.net. My email is mjb@gradgift.net. I put out a weekly newsletter. If anybody's interested, you can go on the website and sign up. And I'm on Twitter at mjosephbenrick.
Wow. And let me give that spelling. That's mjosephbenrick. Listeners, no excuse. This book is available all over the place. Please take advantage. What a great gift this makes for National Financial Literacy Month. Also, you know what? Graduation is not that far away. You've got May, you've got June for the high schools. This makes a fabulous graduation gift. My recommendation, buy one for yourself and buy several copies for graduates and others in high school or college, because we need much more financial literacy in this world today. We see how spending's out of control. We see how credit card spending and debt is at an all-time high. It's so important in our lives to control that spending, get it to where it needs to be financially literate, because when we are, it positively impacts the rest of our lives, certainly. So indeed, please get out there and buy that book. And that was gradgift.net to follow our great guest today. Marianne, we can't thank you enough for being our special guest today. Congratulations on all your amazing achievements, personally, professionally, now with this great book. We wish you continued joy and contribution throughout this month of April and beyond, certainly. So again, thanks for gracing our studios today.
Thank you, Brother Greg. It's been a pleasure and an honor.
All ours. Listeners, guess what? Once again, we're out of time. Brother Greg sang, our hope and prayer is that when you wake up on Monday morning, just like Marianne does, you'll say, thank God, for Monday. Until next week's episode, have a great week, everyone. Bye-bye.